pretty baby, dry your eyes, don't you know it can't be that bad? How it hurts my pretty baby when I see you sitting there so sad. I need to worry about tomorrow, and yesterday is gone. So raise the chin up, girl, and we will work our problems out one by one.
Hold me tight, don't let go. Turn me loose, never no, no, no. We'll stand our problems all in a row. Watch them fall like dominoes. Falling like dominoes.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Lovely day here. We got rain and all those good things out there. And I got a guest in this morning with me, Mr. Ra Tam, and he's former council member, city council member, and what we're going to be talking about is primarily with him is a matter up in Nu'uanu, the landslide, I'll call it that, the Nu'uanu landslide, and I wanted to pick his brain and invite him in on this. Maybe he had some insights for the homeowners up there, and we'll go into greater detail as to what's going on up there and everything. I think you'll be shocked, and you know, the empathetic and the sympathetic. I think my audience today will probably be, once we go away with this one, you'll become empathetic, and especially if you own property in the state or in the city and county of Honolulu. Rod, thank you for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
And I just saw a sidekick so we don't get anybody going, well, you brought him in for he's campaigning. Well, yes, you are running for office.
Yes, I am running for the state senate and the 13th district, mm-hmm. which is the Iwale area, the Liha, Punui, Aleva Heights, Nuuanu, Pacific Heights, Pauoa, Papakalea, Punch Bowl, Downtown, and Chinatown.
Well, the reason I thought, wow, I better get on the horn and call Rod up, and because I see your signs in that neighborhood near the landfill, the landslide.
Yes.
And I thought, what better way? Maybe he has some insight for the people up there that are impacted. And let me just tell you guys, if you own property in this city, and if you vote, and if you're not happy with things, and you think the rail is a problem, and you think the mayor is basically, this is how I will describe it. And the mayor has his head up big business butt so deep that he can't hear the prayers and the wishes of the common citizen or taxpayer.
That's right, Carol. You're supposed to, elected officials are supposed to be taking care of the people.
Yeah. And they, in this situation, the Nuuanu landslide, it's a giver. It's a dead ringer. It's the city is wrong, and I will go out on a limb and say that, and I'm not an engineer. I'm not a geologist, but I am a commonsensical person.
Right, and you are.
Why should I go around if there is a tree and it fell on a house? I shouldn't go looking for who planted the tree and who owned it. First, I must establish that and accept that the tree is what caused the collapse of the roof, not the person that put it there and planted it there when it was a sapling. We'll get to that later, but ownership. And so if the person then gives right to someone else to nurture this tree, water it, and don't prune it properly, and keep encouraging it to grow, and it threatens the property of others, when it falls, in this case, we have a city sewer line running between two properties where there's an easement. And before I go any further, I want to make sure that we talk about this one, because there are some people up there in desperate need of relief. And so I wrote the mayor's office and his managing director, and as usual, little people like us don't rate with the mayor unless we can pay him $200,000, $300,000 a year just to be on our board. Well, I don't have a board, but we'll let him walk the plank, you know. I hope he hears a saw. This is a time, folks, one more instance or point where the mayor should be voted out, period, because he leaves us to our own defenses, and we have to deal with his ratty, unstructured group of people that are called professionals, and this led by Lori Kahakina. What a sad, sad case of management. She has proven to be inaccurate, ineffective, and just blatantly will lie about whether it's sewage or what have you. And the way this office is run, the environmental services, and this is the sewage comes under that. So here's the mayor's. I requested someone from his office, himself or his managing director or someone. And I got back from Jesse Broder Van Dyke, one of the gatekeepers up there. They call themselves communication specialists, but what they are is bouncers, hired hands to delay and obstruct the public's access to records in a timely fashion. You might get them, but they're watered down and with some attitude and some snippets of you know, funk thrown in. So in asking the mayor, here's the city's statement. No one is available to appear on the radio program. Have a great weekend. Now, that's nice. It's like it makes you want to cuddle up with it, right? It's like
that's a cop-out. It's called a cop-out.
They'd
probably be advised by corporate council not to respond at all.
Yeah, and this is the mayor who's the people's mayor, right? But he's not the infrastructure mayor. We're learning that now. So the mayor has the homeowners now regarding this landslide. The homeowners informed the city of this situation near Puiva Road a couple months ago. And since that time, the appropriate departments have been evaluating it. Okay? A couple months ago, And we're going to show, there are records that show that back in 2013, the city knew that the pipe were compromised and broken and collapsed the liners, and we'll talk about that. And so where was the water coming from those houses that was dumping into the sewage line? Was it going into the soil up on the side of the hill? Could the water from that over the years saturated that soil and cause an escarpment and slippage? And then things lead to, they get worse, like dominoes. So the homeowners informed us a couple of months ago, and since that time, the appropriate departments have been evaluating it. So the city advised one, this is me, the city advised one homeowner in 2013 that they would be preparing the homeowners that the deteriorated sewer line in the back of one of the affected homes at 388 Puyiva. In 2013. Now, how can Broder claim, and the mayor claim, that just a couple of months, months ago, they were informed by the managers, by the residents, when in fact a letter from 2013, and go also back farther, where August 12th, or in that time frame, 2012, there was an effort, a notification, and I'll read some of that, where they say that the infrastructure or the sewer lines were compromised and they need to rebuild them, replenish them with liners or what have you. So 2 months sounds like a bit of a cop-out, because, in fact, the records show that they had knowledge and will show, too. So, and he goes on to say, the city has determined that the soil shifting was not caused by any leak from the city's sewer line located within the affected area. And evaluation by expert engineers to determine the actual cause of the shifting is on the way, but not complete. Last month, the city met with most of the affected homeowners, and city intends to meet with them again after the study is complete in the coming weeks. Now, Rod, I got to ask you, why do they got to study it? And when they say that the city has determined that the sewage pipe did not cause the landslide, what did they use to determine that? And on their part, speaking of what they use and make that conclusion, and then if they've made that conclusion, why did they waste taxpayers' money to further do an evaluation by engineers?
Well, generally speaking, let me say this, that someone's trying to deny that it's a public sewer line. And the city knows it's a public sewer line.
Mm-hmm.
And although the easement, shifting of land, but they know that they constructed a line and it has deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since the city owns the line, it's supposed to maintain the line. So there's full responsibility on their part. Now, they're going to the trouble, per se, of trying to reevaluate it.
Mm-hmm.
Make a claim that they are not responsible.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is the city is responsible.
And go to carolcox.com. I think some of you saw some of my drone footage on KGMB the other day. They did a story on that and depicting how severe it is. But that really don't tell the story. You need to meet the people and see, come up close to it and see the mud is in the bedroom. And see that they tested the water that coming out of the mountain, dribbling down through their property, having fecal coliform. Fecal coliform is what?
Bacteria, a lot of bacteria there. It is dangerous.
You know you'll bleep when you see it.
Yeah. And I remember in terms of when I was involved in a development, against a development in Hoonah Street, whereby they built a condominium, 122-unit condominium,
mm-hmm.
under Joel Paul Ramsey. Involving that, by the way, was James Ariyoshi, Larry Mayhow, and Bob Shiro. They were the investors in that.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have the proper permits. The sewage backed up into a sewer neighbor home in the basement. I remember pushing that water, sewage water, out of the basement. And basically people say, wow, you know what you did, Rod? And then being ignorant at that time, back in 1981, basically,
mm-hmm.
oh, I guess so, yeah, all the bacteria, and I was walking in there barefoot.
Oh, you're an honorable. But again, so the city is stated emphatically that their sewage line is not responsible for that slippage. But they don't cite any science in this statement. They don't cite anything. They just say, we, the city, has determined. Well, self-preservation is the best thing come to my mind. And we're not going to tell on ourselves anyway. So, having that, there is a report that was concerned, and basically it's a Kakinami Act 76 case 528 notes, and this is the complainants were from up in that area that were impacted. Reported to the Hawaii EMA by Amanda Morales, councilperson Fukunaga's office. And so the concern, land movement and land stabilization, landslide, actions taken. Now, this is their chronological order. Actions taken. 1-21-15, Mr. Vincent advised the Hawaii EMA, Emergency Management Service Administration, should do a site visit to get an understanding of the situation. But let me just hop ahead. The city states they're not responsible for it. It's, their sewage line did not leak, did not break that. It didn't cause a slippage or the landslide. But here in this report, on 6-9-16, site visit by S. Siegler, who's from EMS, slide has moved about 6 feet since January. City and county personnel on site putting in above ground sewer line to another house above the slide area. Eugene Garrett believes the slide has been caused by the broken sewer line under the slope. Then on 6-13-16, call Ms. Elise Leroux of Masa Fujioka and Associates, and reports that they report that the slide is colluvium and sewer leak, like the one that may have happened, could have caused it. Now, how can they reach that conclusion? And they're engineers. And all we have is the mayor and his gatekeepers to sit there and throw out this nonsense that our pipe is not.
Well, very simply put, government will always try to deny responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've heard it time and time again. Over my 28 years of service in government as a state, and the state as representative, senator, and also city councilman, administrations of the state and the city will always try to deny it, mm-hmm, because of liability. The attorneys tell them to deny it.
Now, the corporation
council... go to court to prove it.
There's two sets of lawyers here.
Yeah.
There is a corporation council in the general sense advising the mayor. And then there's a council services, a team of lawyers that advises the council, per se. They write up, they research, they do those. Am I correct?
Yes.
So, in this case, but what happens when the corporation council is advising the mayor, who is up for campaigning and running again for office, will they be motivated to conceal this, drag it out, delay it, so that the mayor's real neglect of the public needs go unnoticed?
Well, idealistically, the corporation council is supposed to be the legal arm for people,
mm-hmm,
in the city and county of Honolulu. But actually, in reality, they're the legal arm for the administration and for the city council. So it's not the people that they, mm-hmm, represent. It's representing the mayor and the city council.
And so why would the city county of Honolulu go there and do anything when they got lawyers? And then individually, these homeowners are left to their own accord to fend off the mud, first of all, and sleep nervously at night or move out of the houses. Because if you saw this, any given time, it could, like, someone pull the trigger and snap, and the whole side of that mountain come on down. And life and property is threatened as I speak right now. And that's not a professional assumption or opinion. That's just from looking at it and standing there, having seen other landslides. And mud does not belong in your bedroom.
Right.
So this mayor, Mayor Caldwell, I think is one of this event here is just yet another shameful example of what he really is about. Because when people's lives, the game's over. You know, you're supposed to rally around. Don't threaten the people. And then The city and county of Honolulu, in its attempt to conceal its responsibility or shirk its responsibility, still in the game-playing mode, right? And they don't know that what's really happening is that they're setting people up for possible being killed by this.
Right, right. It's an unsafe event factor. What it is this is the election year now.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. They put it on the table. It's the election year. And then, when there's election year, there's delay tactics
mm-hmm.
in terms of resolving the problem. Okay.
Yeah.
Especially when the city and county of Honolulu is responsible for the sewer line that they own and they were supposed to maintain.
Right. So, here's a, for example, and these are documents they're available, they're city records.
Right.
And some of the homeowners provided me some of the records. And for the city to claim, as they say, that it's not their sewer, well, let's just look at some and lay something out here for a minute. I'm going to read the city in 2013 went out to the property and put a camera down the hole. And they call it Operation Red Flag. Okay. But again, these are, and I'm going to be scattered, but it's all going to come and point to the same thing, that this mayor has subjected people to a danger that could have been avoided and still can be, but they're left to their own accord to fend for themselves. What I believe, what's clear to me, is that their sewer line failed. All the things up there point to their sewer line. And so, therefore, they should own up to it and intervene and say, one gentleman has spent more than $100,000. But we'll get to all of that in a bit. But just to show you, the mayor's representative claimed that they only knew it 2 months ago, a couple of months ago, when they were told. So here's an example where they knew. 11/24/2015, they knew that the lining failed inside the pipe, the sewer line, because they had already determined that the sewer line was compromised, a vitrified clay pipe, and in turn that had broken, and gravel and mud was found and observed inside the pipe. So that was 11/24/2015 they did that. So if the liner fell, when did they replace the liner? Right? And so if the liner fell, that means the city knew the pipe was compromised or broken in order to go and put the pipe in.
Now, but you knew way ahead of time, beyond.
Right, right. So here, this particular one, let me just read. There was a camera that was stuck down, which they do to monitor, and it states here, this was done in 2016, 3/8/2016. That's not a couple months. And this is the city employees themselves learning this. The city didn't need to be told by the homeowners. The city knew that, you know. So camera unable to proceed due to collapsed liner. This is the city's reports now. And they abandoned the survey. Oh, it's bad down there. It's ugly down there. Well, the best thing to do is just walk away and leave it, and then nobody will know anything. And if it starts leaking, but they're not smart enough to think ahead that it may saturate the soil, and due to the angle, and you know, this basic physics is that gravity sucks, and add a little water to it, it really sucks, and think what goes uphill must come down, and if, you know, so all of that, and then you have tree roots that grow into it, and if the earth is shifting from your leaking or just natural settlement from the areas, tree roots and all, so you're going to get a compromised pipe. if you don't think that, then you're really in the wrong ball game. So here is 1:22:2016. Another one. They show that the inspection. Then on same date, they write in from a camera view, appears fault in liner installation from. So when they install it, it appears that they installed it improperly. So that means the homes were actually flushing the toilets and it running down the hill, supposedly going into the pipeline, and it may have been going into the pipeline, but only for a short distance because it was blocked, clogged, and broken.
Right, right.
So where did that water go?
It had to burst.
And saturate the soil.
Right.
So, again, another one, survey abandoned. Then they find, on another occasion, same date, in another inspection, vermin and cockroaches. Now, how do you get vermin and cockroaches in a sealed line? If cockroaches and rats and centipedes can get in the line, inside the sewer line, that suggests that there is an opening, a breakage somewhere, right? Which
right.
will lend itself
right.
to leaking out.
Right.
But they wouldn't know until the homeowner said 2 months ago, we got mud in our bedroom. Mm-hmm. But they knew all along what was going on. The city did.
Right.
And I'm just going, here's a note in one of the views on the same date, 1/22/2016, deposits of settled gravel in the pipeline. How do you get gravel and dirt in the pipeline, in the sewer line, if it hadn't been compromised, if it was a perfectly set up? So that's just some of the examples where the city claims, we didn't know, it's not ours. But all the elements here, as we go on, we'll talk about more, points to the fact that a strong suggestion that it is a pipeline.
What the city actually is doing is basically making the general claim that it's not their line.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, if it is our line, then basically we were not knowledgeable on a timely basis. Now, who built the line? It was the city.
Mm-hmm.
The city is therefore is the owner of the line and responsible for maintenance of the line, right? But they're trying to find a way to get out of it.
It's their line.
Right.
And unfortunately, in this state, in this city, they can drag it out and someone can actually lose their life, not to mention their life earnings and their life savings. So here's some of the strategies. This is the sleaze that you see when you have a mayor who's out lollygagging around and in hand in big money pocket trying to build a $20 billion rail, and to hell with the people, right, on their little issues. And he give us the look like the most sleaziest of practices and leave these people. These people have worked hard to earn what they have. I own a home. You own a home. It can happen to any of us because we are governed by the same mayor, the same city council, the same. And so here we are now watching this unfold, and I'm saying to myself, wow, what if I get a sinkhole? The debate will be, it's not our fault, but their sewer line has been leaking. You follow?
Yeah.
My foundation settles and cracks because my line out on the road there's a sewer line been leaking for a while. And then all of a sudden it presents itself in the form of a manhole breakage and then a sump hole.
Now here's what the city can do. A remedy. Immediate remedy. And I don't advise, to be honest with you, the residents who are affected by this landslide to file a suit at this time using an attorney, because the rules of the court take so long and it's going to be dragged out.
And that's what the mayor would love.
Right. So, and then thousands of dollars are going to be spent by the homeowner.
Right.
Because attorneys, generally speaking, are money people. Mm-hmm. They're looking for business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And they're going to say, oh, we can win. But they know the bottom line is it's up to the courts.
Right.
Okay. And it's going to take a year, months, and so forth. But in the meantime, you have these dangerous conditions in terms of landslide and possible more landslides because the land is unstable.
Mm-hmm.
What the city needs to do is take immediate attention by having emergency remediation. Okay? And then go into the research in terms of what they claim is not their line and all that. Right? Now, I'll give you an example. I remember in terms on Booth Road, there was a homeowner who had a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
And then the landslide came from the city and state land. So he called me. And immediately what I did, I said to the city and the state, you got to take immediate action.
Mm-hmm.
So they did take immediate action.
Right.
Right. In this case, and like I said before, government always denies every kind of claim.
Yeah, and
but it has to have been fought upon. Yeah. Now, the elected officials, it's their job to be the spokesperson and the fighter for the people.
And some of the homeowners describe it as a gaggle of politicians came, looked, and they're still left with the problem. And it wouldn't be so bad, and I wouldn't have these strong comments and opinions if it were not for what I'm learning and have in hand to say that it's one thing to get in the denial mode. It's another thing when dirt is perched by the hundreds of tons, perched on the top of one's home and threatening the lives of others, and all you can do is engage in a strategy of delay so that it's not going to cost him one red cent. It'll cost us eventually, and it will even cost. And so listen to some of the shenanigans. This is why I have such strong opinion about this and this mayor. He has to go. Lori Kahakina have to go. Atta must go. We are being managed by the most inept, inadequate people and unethical. You don't subject people in these conditions. And here's an example. The city and county, a letter written July 21, 2016, from the city and county of Honolulu to one of the homeowners. And they sent it to others. But some of the homeowners didn't get the same letter. And you'll understand why. See, they're not just not owning up to it. They're being nefarious in their activities and introducing things to distort and disfigured and keep the community from coming together as they have suggested to the community. Get together and come up with a plan. We screwed you, but you can get together and meet and then come up and collect your monies together and spend it.
Well, you know, that reminds me in terms of years ago. There was a desired development by a Korean person up in Dowsett Highlands.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was working on it as a councilman, along with the Nuuanu Valley Association. And getting records and so forth, and proving that they shouldn't build any development on the highland area because of the possibility of landslides, okay? Because that area has been known for landslides in Nuuanu,
mm-hmm.
Highlands area. But lo and behold, what happened, the Nuuanu Valley Association called upon attorneys. They asked this well-known company called Asford,
yeah,
right,
mm-hmm.
to be the attorney. And I said, well, you're going to hire an attorney. Let's make sure that we all work together. Lo and behold, what Asford did is they sued the city for lack of giving public records. And I had six pieces of legislation, bills and resolutions to stop the development. I had all the votes from the council members ready to go. And all of a sudden, the Asford had his lawsuit on behalf of the Nuuanu Valley Association. And it stopped every piece of legislation. So all of my legislation to end the development died.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, they blamed me for it.
Yeah, and that was to address what was determined right. to be an overtaxed sewer system that its carrying capacity could not complement
right.
or allow that development and carry the waste.
Now, but this is why I recommend do not hire an attorney immediately. You don't need attorneys unless you're going to file a lawsuit. But be careful. You have to have knowledge like you do, Carol, in terms of what the issue is
mm-hmm.
and using the government structure and process.
But
right? but attorneys do not know the government construction process,
but,
to be honest with you.
But follow this, and I don't want to get straight too far away from this, but and thank you for that part. But here's this letter, July 21st, and this is really sickening. It's unsettling that they would employ such tactics, they being the mayor and the city corporation council. They know what's going on. So the city and county of Honolulu is recommending that you obtain the services of a geotechnical engineer to evaluate the stability and safety of the land surrounding your house. This is the city's recommendation. But their sewer pipe is suspected to be the culprit.
Right.
Okay. The city has not yet ascertained the lateral and vertical extent of the slide. However, based on the available photographic records and geoanalytical report performed for, quote, landslide mitigation, end quote, for 270 Polo Hiva Place dated November 2014, geoanalytical report, it appears that the current landslide affecting 384, 388 Puiva Street and 270 and 274 Place was active around January 2016 to present. Based on the geoanalytical report, the slope instability at 270 Polo Hiva Place started prior to 2013 March. You understand? Mm. The slope instability at 270 Polo Hiva Place started prior to March 2013. So, all things point that they had a dilapidated, compromised sewer line that had been bleeding and dumping into the ground because it was not passing through properly. And then here's the scary part of this, and this is what I describe as just downright sleazy. There's no logic to it, but if you understand it from my perspective, you'll see. Based on the geoanalytical report, the slope instability at 270 Polo Hiva started prior to March 2013, and very low-strength adobe clays and groundwater was encountered at shallow depths at this site. Now, recent excavation at two properties at the toe of the affected slope may have exacerbated the slope's instability. Now, the city does not own up to and acknowledge that their pipe is a problem.
Right.
They won't. They say the city itself has determined, but their engineer is still out there looking to see what is the real cause of it. So they then recommend that the city recommends to the homeowners go consult a geoanalytical party entity and have them to look at it, make an assessment, and then take their recommendations and act on them. But then now, one party did. And what are they saying? Now he is now being accused of suggesting that maybe his work may have exacerbated it. You see, now, yeah. So where is there going to be cohesiveness amongst this community now? Because now this gentleman that is taking action because the mud was in his bedroom had to do something. They're standing around there with their thumbs up their butt saying, it's not ours. And they're making sure that to really complicate matters worse, they're making an above ground sewer line, black pipe about 6 inches, I'm going to describe, maybe a little smaller. But that replaced the main line going into the sewer line dump because there's no need for it because it's compromised, it's broken.
Right.
So if the public could see, and this, there's a one guy said there's some humor to this, but I don't see the humor in it. I know there is humor, but you know these black lines that they put hooked to the houses, the outfall, and then diverted around the leak in the main sewer line. Now every week or so that I was told, and you can see the indicators are broken line, the black line would break. And the homeowner would have to run down to Home Depot and buy a rubber grommet sleeve and a hose clamps and patch the migrating sewer line that the city put in place. And then you can go to carolcox.com and you can actually see one, the line actually dumping sewage where it has broken. And the homeowner has to go and buy this and then patch it himself. And why was he having to do that himself? Or they have to do it themselves? Because the city say that, well, because the landslide, and I'm quoting the homeowners who are conveying this to me, the city's claim is that because the landslide has moved the sewer line onto other property, private property, they had an easement between the two properties, then they can't go on the private property to maintain the sewer line. So therefore, it is the responsibility of the homeowner.
Yeah, what the city is doing is going around in circles.
Oh, yeah. And so you take that, for example, and place yourself, become empathetic and put yourself in that predicament for a moment. And then stand there and look at the multiple breakage and patches that have had to be done by the homeowner. And all that they get is you should get together on behalf of the city recommending these things. You should get together as a community, come up with a plan. You should also consult a geologist or a hydrologist or an engineer firm. And then in turn, based on their recommendation, proceed. But then once you proceed, then they sit back and take some snapshot or just shoot from the hip and say, well, the actions that you did or you took exacerbates this.
Right, right. Yeah. By the way, Carol, just for your information, the permit process time takes anywhere from a year or more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though they take the recommendation of the city, the homeowner, and say, okay, we got a expertise in terms of how to fix the sewer line and so forth on our property and so forth to avoid the sewage spillage, which we can be charged with violation of into our property by the Department of Health of the State of Hawaii.
Yeah.
The process of getting a permit can be more than a year. And what happens in the meantime, quite frankly? That's why I say the immediate solution or remedy is for the city to do an emergency repair job.
Right.
And they're not willing to do that now. Yeah. And then so what happened, most people say, well, I've got to hire an attorney. But, you know, you hire an attorney, it's going to take another year or 2 years in a legal court, basically. Right? So what it is up. It's a job of the senator and the state city councilman to do some immediate remediation.
But the city council has no gunpowder in their guns. Their gunpowder is wet. They come up and they look into the hole and drool and cry with the community and then walk away and send some letter the big picture is that they're working on a Dowsett and this and that. And here there you can almost hear the land creeping downhill.
Well, this is where basically your council members and your state senators at this time do not have knowledge of the administrative structure process, how to use it to their advantage.
Yeah, but they use the weakness and the frailty of the community to advance themselves. Like, well, I was up there and I came and you poor thing, you. And, you know, we're going to see what we can do, knowing there isn't a damn thing they're going to do because, first of all, they're being advised by the corporation council not to do anything and sit back and sit on your thumbs and let these people struggle through this themselves.
All I can say is that in the past, when I was a senator and I was a city councilman, I fought against administrations.
Yeah, I know. I remember a number of them I had worked with you on.
Right.
And
it basically
like
was a tough fight, but you fight them. Right. But I get to not have knowledge of the structure and process.
Yeah,
of the administration, and I was able to use some leverage.
I can attest to that. I mean, I know you more than most people. We've come to your office as a state representative, as a city council member, and you've never faltered. You had a different approach. But then that's why they sent the
That's why that's why my life was in danger twice. I had two contracts on
me. You're that nail that they speak of, that proverbial nail that sticks up, meets the hammering, you know.
I stopped the development at Hooner Street. I stopped St. Francis Hospital for expanding the 12 stories high.
As quiet as it kept, you've done a lot more, but I believe that this is a shameful practice. But let me just, because we're going to go to a break but let me just show you how wicked, and when I say the things that I have no shame of describing this mayor or anyone in the fashion that I do. I wish I could, maybe I should go to church before I do the show in the morning and learn the soft and religious approach, you know, with and share God's love in my description or my comments about these people. But I can't. I can't, and here's some of the reasons why. So we know that they recommend that the community get together and consult engineers, and if the engineers are consulted and the engineers has an action plan and they invoke that or initiate that action plan, then what happens? You then get another stinky letter, but you don't get the letter that everybody else get. It implicates you as being a contributing factor to exacerbating the problem that they potentially cause.
Right.
Now, how worse can it get? Can you think it get worse? So this gentleman that they now sent this stinky letter out to say, oh, he may have caused greater harm or greater damage or exacerbated the issue by removing the mud from the plan of advice of an engineer.
But it's right into his home.
And they recommended that you do something, right? So then maybe they think that citizens have the luxury of just going out and looking at something and then leave and go to the coffee break. But this is a reality for their life savings and their livelihood. But going further than that, let me just show you, and I use this so freely, and it might be offensive to others, but I don't care. This is sleaze. Mm. So this gentleman followed this whole process, takes their advice, spends his money, attempts to remediate, mitigate this, slow the mud down, keep it out of his house, save his property, save his life. Do you know that when in the process of doing that, the city and county of Honolulu, his engineer was there excavating the mud to keep it from going further into his house and destroying his house? Do you know that the city and county of Honolulu went there in the name of Benjamin Cacho, an inspector, and issued the man a citation for digging without a permit?
Oh, yeah, right. The city is well known famously for it. You got to get a permit for this, permit for
that. Yeah, but right.
They started the whole process in terms of renovation.
But right. This is bigger than just a house that was he was driving by. And so there are letters from the mayor, from the city council, from Lori Kahakina to others, and they know the problem. They know the line is broken. But to distort matters and make things look worse than what they is for the community and look as if they are innocent, you see, they issued him a citation, notice of violation, on 2016, November 6th, and the job type, date created, June 30th, 2016. And he has to get an attorney. The attorney then engages in talking with the city and county of Honolulu. And instead of saying, we're just sorry, and the mayor of apologizing, you know, you already got the worst of the worst happening to you, and my people come and inflict an insult to injury to you, and George Atta, lame as he is, this is what they wrote back. Dear Mr. Fujioka, this is in response to your letter dated July 19, 2016, regarding notice of violation issued July 1, 2016 to the owner and the contractor for unpermitted grading at the address. As the owners of geotechnical engineer, you have confirmed that the work in question was necessary to protect the owner's home from an emergency landslide situation. You have also indicated that the contractor's activities to stabilize the site are being performed under your supervision. Therefore, pursuant to the provisions of the grading ordinance or exceptions for certain natural or man-made disasters, we are hereby rescinding the notice of violation. Now, Rod, I'm sorry. I'm from Mississippi, and we're certifiably slow. But our hearts won't allow us to do crap like this to people. We see someone drowning, we're likely to jump in with chains around our feet to help them and swim and try and rescue them. In this city, they throw you bricks when you're drowning. And that's the situation here. And this mayor, it's shameful. So we'll come back and then we'll talk a little more if you're up to it. And thank you for listening. This is the Carol Cox Show. You got to come in?
Basically, it's very clear that the city's wrong. Mm-hmm. The city, once again, owns the sewer line. And they were supposed to properly maintain it. They mm-hmm. didn't do so. Yeah. Now they're trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
Right? The responsibility. And all they have in their mind is thinking in terms of, well, we don't want to have a liability because it's going to cost us. We're going to get sued. Hey, city, you're going to be sued anyway, quite frankly.
Yeah, but, you know, what about the loved one or the families that might die in this whole, this game of cloak and dagger? But then in this letter it goes, please, this is when you really know that you're out of control and heavy-handed. Please remind the owner that this action does not affect the need to comply with any other applicable code, rule, regulation, and permit. Now, you're already back against the wall, and all of your life savings and everything's there. You don't know if you're going to be there tomorrow morning. You might go to sleep and get buried in the mud. Why couldn't the city be a little compassionate and say, we apologize for our mistake or our heavy-handedness or something? And in this circumstances, we assure you, if you have any future questions or concerns, please feel free to call this person. But no, instead, remember, we are the guys with the power. And remember, whatever you do, well, they don't apply when your sewer line is suspected of causing the problem.
Well, I can say, in closing, basically, at this time, is that we don't have a people's government.
Yeah, we don't have. We have a Caldwell government, and whatever the heck that is, and it ain't doing well. Maybe we just have a call.
We criticize Russia for communism or China, but we're just as bad, frankly.
Well, I hope nothing happened to those people in that property. But we'll be back shortly. This is the Carol Cox Show. Thank you.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now here's Carol.
It's Mirror and Demand.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Getting all my buttons here mixed up and trying to do 10 things at one time. Anyway, the Carol Cox Show can be picked up at KWAI1080AM.com, streaming live, or CarolCox.com. Click on the button, listen live, and there we are. And my guest this morning is Mr. Rod Tam. And Mr. Tam is a former city councilman, state representative, and state senator.
Right.
And he just so happened to be running again for state senate for this district that we're talking about, Nuuanu and Chinatown and other places.
Pacific Heights, Papaclea, Viliha.
And I thought, you know, in up there driving around looking at it and trying to fly my drone and get some good shots, I saw his signs posted up there. And I go, aha, let me see if I can pick his brain and see if he could take his hat off as a candidate right quick and gravitate back to the arena of city council, state rep, and see what could be offered from that standpoint. But we will, and there's a caller that call in. Caller, you can call back and we'll entertain your call. 524-1080. You can call back if you like to. But we were talking about the Nuuanu landslide and some of the shenanigans and the, I would say, strategies, but I call them shenanigans. Just nothing more than to distort and disrupt any cohesiveness that might exist amongst the community up there that's experiencing this unfortunate landslide that threatens properties. And by the way, Rod, these houses are not dirt cheap, are they?
No, you're talking about at least $900,000 and up.
And up.
Right. You could be over $1.2 million.
Yeah, and then that's just for the house, but the land could be another $700,000.
Yeah, you know, some people may view it as that, to be honest with you, but I've seen totals of, say, $1.5 million for both land and house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now imagine.
You talk about homes that maybe are 30 plus years old.
Right, and that suggests if you can afford one of those homes such as that, you might have access to a lawyer, and you would think there'd be some reluctancy on the part of the city and county of Honolulu to back off. But the game is the city and county of Honolulu, the environmental services, and the mayors who comes along, they know that, hey, I got an empty checkbook and an army of lawyers. I can drain the individual. Citizen.
Oh, very much so. You know, a lot of these residents, I have some friends up there from years ago, and a lot of these residents are basically living on credit.
Mm-hmm.
They have no cash available.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the cost of living up there is very high.
Yeah. And so imagine they're being taxed. But we were talking about this letter where George Atta sent the homeowner a letter of violation, a notice of violation, then rescinds it. Then, as a parting shot to remind him that you better obey other laws, what does that say about an agency that should know automatically? They should have had meetings, and the inspector that went there and gave that citation. But I tell you why I suspect they did that, and this is in the cover-up mode and the denial mode and the defensive mode that the city is operating in. And that is, this letter of issuing the notice of violation was to serve as, in what they're thinking, in their feeble thoughts, was to protect them. They could say to the other homeowners, he exacerbated the by doing what he did. And upon learning what he was doing, we issued a notice of violation and stopped him. So we did our due diligence as in regulatory body. We went in and stopped him. But that was the original. But then the man has to go get a lawyer and go and negotiate when, in fact, the city should have brought him a fruit basket and apologizing profusely and apologizing to the others because it's still unfolding. So anyway, 524-1080 if you have a call.
What you just describe, Carol, excuse me, what you just describe is a public agency of the government is not user-friendly at all. And this is why people get so distorted about government.
Yeah.
They hate government today because it's like getting stopped by a police officer, and the police officer says, give me your license, give me your no-fault card, give me your no-fault car registration.
Yeah.
And you don't know why. And then you cop asked, do you know what you did wrong? He said, no, I don't know. Don't tell me you didn't do wrong.
Yes.
You know, come out of the car. And that's why you hear some about the violence of the police officers.
Right?
They handcuffed the person because the person said, well, they were rude to me. But the person didn't know what he was doing. He wasn't paying attention maybe to how fast he was going. Right?
Or you get suspect that when you hear the officer going, stop resisting, and the guy's arms are dangling because he's already broken them. But that's to satisfy. This is in the same mode that the city's operating in, and by sending this letter. That's to satisfy, well, he was resisting. That's why I have to apply more and escalate the force of to suppress his resistance.
Right.
Well,
what we need is more user-friendly government. And I, you know, when I was in an office for 28 years, I got criticized for going
out of
government.
Wait, hold that thought. Yeah. It is user-friendly, but the only thing is if you use money, it's friendly to you. This guy, Kurt Caldwell, HDR, look at the thousands and thousands of dollars that he's gotten from a contractor, engineering firm, that's running out there doing some of the work at H-Power. So, you know... Yeah, you're right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we need a user-friendly government that's public service-oriented. And I understand the frustration of the public. Here's a case what I experienced. When I was in office, I got criticized for going to constituents' homes.
Yeah.
They say, how come you're not behind the desk? I said, why can't I go out there and help my constituents?
Yeah.
Right? And even if to discuss with them their issues or their problems at the parks. And they said, no, you're supposed to be behind a desk.
Well, I think that you can, we'll post many of some of these documents up on the website just to share with you at carolcox.com. Guys, I two things I'll say to you, and this isn't a campaign plug or anything, but I would say be mindful of Kurt Caldwell. And I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but when you have an entity such as this operating so recklessly and irresponsibly toward the people, I'm sorry. This isn't about campaign. This is a reflection of what we really are seeing. This is a mirror. This isn't about hating Kurt Caldwell. This is about understanding how he failed to assemble rational people, people that are honest with integrity and treat the public as if they are just as important as the donor that would give you $20,000 or get all your employees together and give you $100,000. You see. And I think that's why if you ask me, what is it about Kurt Caldwell? It's his policies and his practices. And his practices tend to be, you'll most likely see the back of Caldwell's head than you will see the front, depending on if you're not handing him money. If you're handing him money, you'll see his lips. If you ain't giving him anything, you'll see the back of his head. And then his army of George Atta, Lori Carquina, sloughing off and brushing off situations such as this where, it's evil.
You know, the last time we had people's mayor was Frank Fossey.
Yeah.
He was basically out there in the community. And if he saw graffiti, he would have some paint in his car, and he would paint it right over. Right?
Yeah, but I don't know where to start with this. It's when you go up there, and I ask that all of you out there that care to... give the mayor a call and ask him what gives with this situation in Nuuanu. Give these people some relief. It's going to cost us anyway. And the one thing, I think the charter should be revisited. This corporation council controls all of us. Right down to if you don't put a light up in your yard properly, or you post something, or you paint it down, the town association will get involved, and they will subsequently be giving it to the corporation council. Mm. So, and if it's the corporation council isn't contained, no matter who we get in office, if one person that was that Donna Leong, I think, what was her name, Leong?
Donna Leong.
Yeah, and you know, see how they manipulate things so well in this process when they're in these official capacities, that it's for the good of the candidate.
Well, you know, generally speaking, whether it be a public sector or private sector, that's the job of an attorney. Mm-hmm. Confuse things.
But it's a deceiving
right.
and misinforming the public when we think, oh, the city, we pay their salary. Taxpayers' money pay their salary and fund that position. But somehow it is tilted the one way where it's us against them. And we should, if we had good guidance, the mayor would never see one of these letters generated, because in order for this inspector to go to this site and cite this gentleman, there's a thing called posse, and you know posse, you do a lot.
Right.
And posse gives a recording of every action that is taken on that property, pretty much, right?
Right, right.
So this inspector that went out there and issued that citation, he had to have known on the posse what was going on. You know, I call up and there's the Coconut Wireless getting, Carol Cox is calling and asking for this. Carol Cox is calling and don't give it to him. Hold off here. And yet people's lives are threatened with mud coming down the mountain from their broken sewer line. And you telling me he didn't know that when he went out there that this house, and if he did know, then that says a lot about how well and informed or uninformed, or how badly uninformed the agency is, and George Otter is. But I guess when you're busy working with the rail, you wouldn't. Caller, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your comment and question.
Thank you very much. I just have one question. Could you explain, Posse, what you just mentioned? And I'll listen off the air. Thank you both very, very much for your program.
All righty. Posse, P-O-S-S-E-E, I think they call it. And what that is it's basically an application used by the city and county of Honolulu, and it records everything. You can search it by permits, and to obtain it, you go to Department of Planning and Permitting website on the city, and there then you'll see Posse. And then you can choose if you are interested in seeing the status of your building permit, or if a neighbor, if you see if they have a permit for a certain wall or doing a work that's being done, or if they have violations, you just click on and insert the address, either by suffix, prefix, or what have you, and then the street and the name of the street, or you don't have to put place or anything, just put that, click enter. It should bring it up. If that does not bring it up, then if you have access to the TMK, the tax map key number, insert it, click on it, it should bring everything up, and it goes back as far as basically the history of that property, any building permits, who the contractor was, and what have you. So it's there, man. So anyway, that's what that posse is. And if you go into the main office, there's a little bit more on that, but understand now, you might be confused later on to learn that there is another posse, but that one's only exclusively used by the internal office, which has a greater details of what thing. Little comments about Rod Tam is rude when you go to visit him, or he's always trying to bribe you with a cup of coffee or something. You know, that kind of notes. We're not privy to that, but this is what they do. But, Rod, go ahead. Yeah.
You know, basically, the bottom line for resolving this problem of the hillside landslide is basically that we need city assistance, emergency remediation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And even though the landowner is excavating that mud that came from a landslide off his property, that land is unstable above him. The city needs to take an action.
Yeah.
You know, they have a responsibility. Right? So I've seen it whereby landslides, once you have it, will come out again because the land is unstable. Take, for example, Tantalus. Years ago, when I was a city councilman, they had the landslide.
Right.
Right? And it was state land, and it was city road. And I told the state and the city, get together, work it out on a timetable basis.
Mm-hmm.
And said, well, but before the city can go back and resurface the road or fix the road, because they had cracked and fallen apart, is that they have to stabilize the land. I said, state, go ahead and stabilize the land.
Mm-hmm.
But here in this case, in Nuwana Dowsett, the city is not trying to stabilize the land.
Right.
So they have a responsibility. Go back there and stabilize the land.
So just another point of dysfunctional government. So generally, if a sewer line leaks into the ocean, right, and breaks and spills and flows over the street and down the drain and into the water, state health department gets involved, right?
Right, right.
This situation, a sewer line is broken. We know that. They've tested and it shows fecal coliform and consistent, and they also, the homeowner also did had the border water supply to come out and do a sampling, and they found detergents, basically detergents associated with sewage. They didn't say it was anything else, but so if you have that and at Alawai, if a sewer breaks at Atkinson Drive, flows over the street into the park, into the ocean, the health department regulates that.
Right.
But in this case, city county sewer line breaks, been leaking for a long time. And in turn, the temporary fix that they use also breaks and dumps sewage on the ground and running to the waters. And you can see it running down the street into the stream. The health department won't do anything.
Well, this is the case whereby Department of Health is supposed to do something. They're supposed to monitor the city.
Well, this is when one crook complements the other crook, you see. That's the problem. They're defrauding all of us on both levels. The state leaders, Dr. Pressler, even Mr. Ige, or whoever is responsible, Keith Kawaoka, they have a responsibility. A sewer line that is compromised and introducing sewage into streams and into the open environment, especially when they were busy trying to fight hepatitis A.
Mm-hmm.
Because hepatitis A is caused by human fecal matter,
right?
So you would think they would be urging the city, but no. If the health department moves in, then they work their way back upstream and learn that it's the city's sewage, and so therefore you would be implicating and indicting the city. So therefore, as a friend of the, you know, you're cordial with them, a friend of a friend or a sister agency, so to speak, don't do one another in.
Well, I look upon it differently.
But, I mean, this is what's happening.
Right. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Same results.
I look upon it differently, whereby when I was a government official, elected mm-hmm. official, whether it be city or state, what I did is I got hold of both the state and the city
mm-hmm.
to work out the problem.
Right. Now, you weren't privy to this. The city, the state has been involved and advised all along. It's just that higher-ups say hands off because you don't want to dignify the complaint that the citizens who are impacted by immediately impacted.
Well, this is where your state legislators, senator and representative, are supposed to take action.
I mean, they were there. Suzanne Chan Oakland was there.
Well, you know,
Carol Fukunaga was there.
I don't know why they didn't take action then. Quite frankly, they should have took action.
Yeah, well,
because the closest thing to the people's representative is the elected officials.
Mm-hmm.
If not the governor, it's the state representative, senator, and city council member.
And that's why we have representatives. They are to represent us.
Right.
On these matters to ensure that there's a balance, see, because very well everybody can't go see the government.
Pardon me, but I think my job, and when I was a become an official,
mm-hmm.
is to protect the public.
Serving the
people.
The public.
Yeah, service.
Yeah.
And my constituents. And even if I have to fight with the city or state administration, I would do it.
Well, I can only think, and go to carolcox.com and look at the drone shot. It will make you nervous. And it's disquieting because it's one thing, landslides do occur. And it's another thing to accept that not all projects are perfectly done and built. And all problems or negative impacts that it presents are anticipated or are dealt with, you know, and prevented. Some things just happen, right? Sewer lines, it was a common practice to use vitrified clay pipes. That was a historical use of it. They can be easily compromised due to tree roots, settling ground, shifting ground, anything, right? So we know that part. The part that is frustrating and puzzling is that why would the city and county of Honolulu introduce such tactics such as these to cause discord amongst the community while suggesting that the community get together and work on this and pool their monies together? No, how about an emergency action to seek funding from the emergency services?
Right.
How about taking that $1 billion that they've been rat-holding, that surplus that the governor speaks about, right?
Right.
And use it. But you can't do that if you're trying to steal from the people and run to the rail and pay those guys off.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that, right?
Yeah.
But again, I know that many of you probably found the subject interesting, but then when I start to connect it with the political part and saying that Caldwell got to go, and I probably lost you, but let me just submit this. If these unsuspecting, hardworking people up there on Puiva Street, if they can be impacted by neglect on the part of the city, if they have to go and patch a sewer line that the city installed, and the city is saying, well, that now runs over private property, so therefore we can't go on that property. And so that means you have to take care of yourself because we don't have permission to go over the land.
That's wrong, Carol. That's wrong. And you know, the city is not taking responsibility. You know?
Right.
And this is not right at all. Okay. Oh, by the way, you know, when the city first installed the sewer line, the old one is
mm-hmm.
broken down, not maintained, leakage or whatever.
Right.
They needed a permit themselves.
Right.
And then they had to get engineers.
Right.
To do it. Okay. And let me say this. When I was city councilman, I know the sewer lines were all bad.
Okay. Right.
But before I left office in 2010, all the main sewer lines were changed. The ones on the main roads and so forth. And,
mm-hmm.
and then the city was supposed to go into the neighborhood and find out specifically how they are, no matter if they're on the mountains.
Right.
And the city failed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Administration.
Well, you know, I was taken aback by this fact when it was shared with me by the homeowners that they were told the city install the temporary fix pipe over ground, above ground, because it was broken. The main one was broken. But then the city say because the land has shifted and migrated, those pipes, to access that, they'd have to go across private land, and they can't do that. So therefore, it's the responsibility of the homeowner whose house the pipe was attached to.
No, that's wrong. All they need to do is get a permission.
But here, look at this.
From the residents, the landowners, to say, we need to go into your property because we have a city-owned sewer line.
Well, this is why I say what I say in such harsh tone, because I do my homework. And I always, and hearing that statement that, well, the city say that because of landslide, the land has shifted, and it has left the easement that pipe and all of that is left easement, and we can't get on private property and So therefore, you, the homeowner, have to run down there and patch it up, even though it's our sewage line. So here's a letter. And caller, hold on. I'll get right with you. Here's a letter, August 22, 2012. Subject, access to, and it's written by the City and County of Honolulu to all residents. Access to City and County of Honolulu sewer lines for the inspection and related work on sewer lines on Oahu, job number W911. The City and County of Honolulu Department of Environmental Services is currently engaged in contracting out work for the inspection of sewer lines on Oahu. The goal is to provide you with a reliable sewer collection system and minimize the chances of sewer spills in your area. To help complete the work in a timely fashion, site visits to assess the work area are sometimes necessary. Therefore, we would greatly appreciate your cooperation in allowing our contractor and any of its subcontractors access to the sewer lines and manholes that are located in the sewer easement within the private property. Contractors and subcontractors will be assessing the easements for purposes of assessing the constructability and or conducting repairs identified on the sewer mains. Their contact is followed. So here, just to inspect now, and they've been gaining its access to it to when they were going to put the camera down there, but now all of a sudden, you see, this is the hogwash, and this is why I draw the conclusion that I think, based on this and other activities, I think Kirk Caldwell might, we may not see the word mayor before his name in the next year.
Well, being mayor, no matter who it is all about being able to administer and manage
right.
operations of government.
We don't expect him to go out there and shovel manure and dig a hole. We know that, right? But these tools are available, and he has managing director. But when you're busy, don't bother me. Hold on. Caller, thank you for calling. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. I'd like to ask Mr. Tam about what he thinks about what he could do about the homeless situation here in Hawaii. You know, Governor Ige, this is his last time for this emergency proclamation, so he gets extra money to help the homeless problem. And this has been going on for a year, and 80% of that money is going to prevent more people from becoming homeless because they help them with their electric bill or their rent for a month or two and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
It's kind of like an emergency. So I'm just wondering what you can do in the legislature to really get down to the grassroots of what needs to be done for the homeless here in Hawaii, because it's an embarrassment here in Hawaii.
Leaking sewage is not of interest to you, huh? Leaking sewer lines are not of interest to you, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about everything that Mr.
Tam
was running.
I can answer that if I may. Basically,
go ahead,
you know, we all realize that we do have a homeless problem here. Our numbers of homeless are the biggest in the nation, quite frankly. It's true that the governor was giving emergency dollars, but emergency dollars are only for temporary relief. Okay, so it provides temporary housing. Sort of makeshift housing, so to speak, okay? And the problem with some of this temporary housing is the homeless don't even have money for the temporary housing, quite frankly. So even if you give them temporary housing for a period of time without any payment, it sounds okay with the use of emergency dollars. But what the bottom line is that a lot of it is people who are homeless that really want to make do in terms of being productive citizens and making it on their own is they need jobs. There's a job situation here in Hawaii whereby we have unemployment of about 10% or more. Not 3.2, not 3.7. like the state of Hawaii Department of Labor has been saying, they count only those who are collecting unemployment compensation, who've been relieved from jobs. Okay? Now, there are many, many people who were working part-time jobs, and then they got laid off. Now, they don't qualify for unemployment compensation at all. So what we need to do, we need to get back on the track and look for jobs so that people can sustain themselves when you come down to it. The days of before, when I first started off as a state representative, we had job training within government, jointly by the state government, city government, private sector, and also the unions. We don't have that today. So people are ill-equipped in terms of handling a job. You know, everything is so specialized today. Let's provide some job training for them, people. Now, there are many, many colleges that say, oh, go back to college, and then you can get a job. How untrue that is, because many people can't even afford a college. Like for example, I'm paying right now student loans for my son and daughter. I'll be paying the rest of my life. I'm 62 years old, quite frankly. Imagine those who can't even have any, don't have any credit at all. They can't even afford a student loan for their children.
Okay?
Now, there's another thing. I'm going to be very bold and say that we should tell the other cities and other states within the United States, do not send your homeless to us. Stop giving them a one-way ticket. Okay? Take care of your problem. Like, we're trying to take care of our local residents who are homeless and in need of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Very simple. Thank you.
Yeah, well, it is what it is when it when the guy shows up and says, I got $1 billion. And then the city goes, you bring in this big convention to town, and it's going to cost us about $4 to $10 million. Who knows how much? And so it's like big brother, little brother, step brother, and then bastard children. You see, human beings are being treated as if they're unwanted, and we shouldn't respect them, and yet. We're talking about preserving the world and making it bigger and establishing greater sanctuaries and expanding. And I'm all for environmental cleanliness and expansion. But something's wrong. We're a sick nation. You can't have this kind of behavior and then pop up one morning like Jack in the Box and go, I got $1 billion surplus that I've taken from you. We didn't need it. There should be a scream and an outcry that you taxed us, took that money, didn't have any use for it apparently, and then later proclaim that you are successful in managing because you have a surplus. In other words, all those people out there that missed their light bills and their water bills because they were taxed, that money just went and set in an account, and they found it. I'm surprised they had the people smart enough to count it, to know that we had $1 billion.
Well, it's not only that, Carol. Besides taxpayers overpaying, basically, what it is one of the sore points for me is that the government refused to spend money on public education in the classroom. So they held back on the spending of textbooks and other needs for the student.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, many times, the teachers had to take money out of their own pocket.
Yeah.
To pay for pencils or supplies or whatever. Even chalk or erasers.
Yeah.
You know, within the classroom.
I showed no interest in it because I thought it was one of the most insulting and telling things there is about David Ige. He should have, instead of saying a surplus, he should have identified specific needs that needed immediate attention to deal with issues on senior citizen, daycare, health care, children, or something. $1 billion. He sat on that. He collected from people. If that isn't telling about his ineptness and his inability, this is not even an old boys network, because old boys don't do something dumb as that. To come back and boast, and still knowing that there's a deficit in many items that go uncared for, right? And to come out from behind the curtain with a smile and proclaim that you've taken and squandered $1 billion collected from them, and then now, hey, look, what are we going to do with it? That doesn't speak well of him. But again, in this climate, in this environment, maybe it's the best thing since cotton candy.
Well, there have been public services, like you say, Carol, that have been put on hold or dismissed, although the legislature funded for it, basically. But it's unfortunate that the governor has this power per the Constitution to withhold money himself without any authorization. Now, what he can do to improve in terms of public services and input is to have public hearings to show and tell, like you're saying, what he's doing, right? Or any governor.
This is like seeing people standing in the grocery line and the governor sends his guys to collect from everybody standing in the grocery line, I'm going to need your money. And then the governor gets on the phone and calls the newspapers and hold a press conference at the state capitol to say, I've just collected $1 billion from these people at the grocery line. And in turn, it's a surplus. Those people standing in line still got to feed themselves. They still got to educate themselves. And their children are going to schools that are compromised in heat and filth and dirt. A caller, you calling, if you got no patience, I can't talk to you. You know, so you can call back if you like to. But again, you got to be a little patient. But anyway, there's so much, and I guess after there's so many examples of abuse and misuse and just bad decision that it gives the impression, it presents us or people like myself, that you can never do anything right. You can never do anything right. I guess we might add to the problem, because every day we see we're presented with another dumb idea or dumb presentation. Caller, thank you for calling. Comment or question?
Yes, how are you today, Mr. Cox?
I'm doing fine, man.
Hey, I got a question, man. I think is relevant to all this. Illegal immigration in Hawaii is never discussed. It could be the biggest subject in the newspapers elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii, whatever, all of a sudden, it's not gets any press, any airtime, nothing. And I was wondering, because I believe illegal immigration has a lot to do with a lot of the financial problems that could exist in the city. And I hope that one day you do a serious show on the history of illegal immigration in Hawaii, how it affects the economy, how it's affecting the Hawaiian economy today.
Well,
never gets talked about. Ever.
I can start with me and you. Well, we came over here and we didn't have a visa. We were we didn't come here legally, did we?
No.
We
you
were,
know what I'm talking about. No, people
no.
Come to America illegally.
No, I'm just saying.
Here,
where do you start?
Here.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying, where do we start with that? And
I don't know. I'm just saying. Yeah. It's a subject that can be talked about everywhere else in America except here. And I wonder about that.
It's talked about here. We have customs.
Percentage
we have
illegal people here.
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe we'll look at that. All right, thank you.
Just food for thought.
All right, thank you so much. Bye. Caller, thank you for calling. Comment or question?
Thank you. I have one short comment and then a question. I'll preface by saying, is it a policy to divide and conquer what I'm going to say? Does the general excise tax voter opposed by maybe another real property tax voter, could you comment on that in terms of any kind of implications? Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm not really catching what you're saying, but the general excise tax is a state tax. The property tax is a city tax.
Right.
So you have two different sectors of government.
Right, two entities.
Right, two entities. And the city does not tax on an excise tax basis.
Right.
Okay.
They do on property tax.
Property tax.
And then fees.
And then fees, services, right?
And then parking meters.
Right,
and
right, that's your fees. And about, per se, percentage-wise, 80% of your public services in the city are provided by property tax. That's why everybody's concerned about the rail, because the rail is costing us an arm and a leg. So does it mean that property tax on the commercial side and homeowners is going to go sky high?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is going to go sky high. But politically, they're trying to weigh it off because this is an election year. Every time election year comes on, nobody wants to increase taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing before we get any other questions that I appreciate all questions, but sometimes it's like that you can tell the questions like, hey, man, we ain't interested in that. We want to talk about this. So, you know, it's okay. But what I was going to share with the listeners, and caller, hold on, I'll get back with you there for a minute. On August 2014, we did three stories here on the hippopotamus at the Honolulu Zoo. And, you know, we reported that it was suspected that the animals died. The animals died, the hippopotamus, Rosie, and that it was due to the stress presented by the construction work there. And we told you that that construction job was, the person that won the bid was Global Specialty, $2,880,000, and then some alternate attachments, fees, and what have you. So that was to fix the hippopotamus pond pool. Well, today the hippopotamus is sequestered in a elephant pen, the old elephant pen, wrapped up in tin and black cloth, and the hippopotamus pond is still vacant and empty. Well, some of you I've had some of you say, well, ain't much to talk about on that because you don't talk about spaceships and theories of, you know, that the space monkeys are coming and have taken over and lizards and people and whatever. No, I don't talk about that, but we were honored, I guess. Bloomberg actually picked up an interest and incorporated some of that in my comments in an article in Bloomberg magazine that August 23rd, 2016. And again, reporting consistently how the city and county of Honolulu and many other municipalities are spending money on these exhibits. And they're not really of quality, and some of them don't function. And meantime, we have infrastructure that goes wanting. So anyway, we'll talk later on about that. But the article is in Bloomberg. You can go online. Hippo home renovation stall as cities scrimp for zoo funds. And you can go to carolcox.com and look at August 24th and August and the week before and the week after and read the whole coverage there. Caller, thank you for calling. Comment or question?
Yeah, Mr. Cox, you know, I appreciate that you're really slamming these corrupt politicians like Caldwell and so on, but I'm I'm surprised that you have such you're giving so much airtime to a corrupt politician such as Rattan.
Oh, isn't that
you've got to blame the voters. You know,
isn't that amazing?
They're so naive. They will vote for someone who's been convicted for corruption and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And he should be ashamed to even want to run again. So that's
no,
all
even me,
I
was not convicted. In fact, what happened is the judge dismissed the case, and he expunged all records.
Okay.
Yeah. But
go ahead, Rod.
The newspaper didn't promote that at all.
Uh-huh.
And the truth is that everything was dismissed and expunged.
Well,
and the judge told me you can run again.
And even if the judge didn't tell you. I submit that this is my show, and I have whoever I want to invite on. And again, caller, thank you for listening. I don't know if there's one caller or a million callers, but I will submit this. My information is the information that's truth. Rod Tam being present is complimenting that. And if you don't like it, go listen to some other show, or don't listen at all. It does not speak of his intellect or his integrity or mine. So I wished if I had some investment in this show and this meant something to me, as this is a show and I need it, fine. If you can't take facts and information and truth about it, yeah, you can look at the other side, and I'll bring anybody. Any politician can come in, and there are many of them should be under the jail. But because they get the special treatment, they got friends, right, in government. Take Chuck Todd. He was in government, but you go and give him cases, he would squander them on behalf of whomever and whatever. And then in turn, we see these practices. People are boasting and begging that he should get his day in court. But how many people did he deny? And he was instrumental in choosing you, but didn't choose to send Nestor Garcia to jail. Didn't choose to send Roman Cachola to jail. Didn't choose to send, right? Arbitrarily and capriciously able to assign and nail whoever. And that's the danger of this system, because if you are liked, or if you can be used as an example, they'll come and get you. But if you're liked and you're the good old boy and part of the system and cover up, you're able to go to work for Cameron Estate, make money, and come back and then hear matters before the city council as chairman.
All I can say is that, Carol, in closing, that of the 28 years of service I served in government as a representative, senator, and councilman, I was told by reliable sources that there was a contract on me because I spoke out too much.
Yeah.
And then basically, they were trying to get something on me. So what they did is they alleged that I misused funds of $600.
Well, we're not going to sit in defend you. There are some people up in Nuuanu that I asked you to come in, and hell with the like I say, if I sit here and talk on the microphone, and the joy of this is that I don't get to see how many people out there, so I don't really know if they're listening. I don't care, it's like, if you don't want it, don't take it. Go listen to some rap music or country and western or something. I don't care.
All I can say is, in closing, that basically, because of I've been attacked so many times, I've become more of a tough skin and an advocate for the people.
Well, the worst of us, I might say, have something to teach us, period. Mm-hmm. So, and for this guy to call up like this, and I understand where he's coming from. He's going to the golf course now and going to hit that little white ball around and take his miseries out and relieve himself. But again, why would you go around beating up on a little ball just to get your satisfaction? If you want to be facetious and call into question people, there was nothing here we were asking that speaks about your situation.
Right.
This was about a community that's about to get buried on the mud. And see, it's the voter that can be just as naive and shoot themselves in the foot because, if they can't discern, well, if he was sitting here representing, then it would be reason. But if you're just saying, watch out, there's a boulder rolling down the hill, and Rod, in the past, how about boulders rolling down the hill? Because in that community, one did, in fact, roll down the hill and kill a girl in the home, correct?
Right, and it happened to be a friend of mine.
Yeah, who ran, and he was ahead of the Department of Planning and Permitting.
Right, and then at the time, the mayor denied everything.
Yeah. Caller, thank you for calling. Real quick, you have a comment, a question.
Thank you. Just your advocate for the people, Rodney Tam, in a class action lawsuit the people tried to bring. He helped us significantly. He showed us how to go before the city council and explain the whole procedure. I thank him very much on behalf of all the people.
You're welcome.
Rodney Tam.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But again, this is the other tactic when people call in like that. It's like, well, you're here talking. The mayor won't have time to talk to me because I don't know what it is. Maybe I have a funny accent, or I don't look right, I don't fit his shoes or whatever, or his, you know, his ilk. But the facts are the fact.
I've been at his elbow on different occasions because of my walker at the microphone. Everything you contend about the mayor is absolutely true. I have a
200, was that nearly $300,000 job from the bank, and we call him mayor. And this guy calls up and tells Rod, "You're a crook. Something's wrong." This is why we need clean water when we drink water from the tap.
Mr. Cox, I take the handy van three times a week, and I'll tell you, last week, two drivers asked me about Caldwell's new $280,000 or whatever he got. They wanted to know if I knew anything about it.
Yeah.
So that is out in front of the people who don't understand.
Thank you, and callers and listeners. I do appreciate you listening, but don't ever get the feeling that I really know that you're out there. I honestly don't. I'm looking at a blank wall in a picture. And, but this morning,
I'm blessed. Well, thank you very, very much. And I just appreciate Mr. Tam, and I appreciate you, and thought it was appropriate for me to call in.
Well, thank you so much, and we got to go. And Rod, thank you. Go ahead.
Well, one last thing, if I may. What Carol Cox and I do, in essence, is that we want public access involvement in government. We also want to get the public information that government has out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a people's government. And we want it to be a people's government.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know as a victim of it, I've been handed some very unjust behavior and untreatment. But you know what? That's the way the system is. You eviscerate truth, and you eviscerate. I'm not saying you're the perfect man. I don't know anything about your life, is it? But I do know that when you were in the Senate, I come to you. You were there working on the people, and I ain't going to lie for you. When you're in the House, the same thing. When you're in City Council, I could approach you at any time and not get blown off, and like I get blown off by many of these others. Or the mayor, he's yet, in all the instances, won't send anybody, won't comment, because I'm a nothing and a nobody.
So, you're somebody.
But anyway.
You're a person in the public.
It's for my peeps out there. And Rod Tam, thank you for joining me. And we'll stay on top of this new Wanu thing and the hippopotamus. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Carol.
Orleans policeman said earlier today that the wreckage has been found, but now says it turns out to be just unrelated debris. Two men remain missing. A woman was rescued after the crash last night.
Elsewhere in southern Louisiana, state police officers say two people are dead and dozens injured after an out-of-control bus carrying flood recovery volunteers hit a fire truck and